Hey, tell me a little bit, first of all, about your life and this incredible recovery that you were able to have.
Okay, well, over 20 years ago, I recovered from schizophrenia through a suppressed alternative treatment mode called orthomolecular medicine that involves the use of dietary supplements on a basis of lab work. I recovered from schizophrenia after smuggling vitamins into the last hospital I was in. I spent 4 years locked up in mainstream psychiatric hospitals where they almost killed me with dangerous, toxic psychiatric drugs. After only 3 weeks on the vitamins, I was doing so much better that they gave me a full medical discharge while scratching their heads, wondering which of their drugs were helping me. What I had to do was I had to hide the vitamins in a cavity gouged out from the underside of my foam mattress and take them secretly, because if they'd found them, they would have flushed them down a toilet.
John, it's amazing that you're here today to talk with us, because this alternative treatment saved you. How many people don't have that luxury, aren't aware of what you were able to do for yourself?
Most people aren't aware of this because this is a heavily suppressed alternative treatment mode. In 1972, the American Psychiatric Association published a very biased task force report intended to suppress the use of orthomolecular medicine throughout the end of time. It was a highly biased report. The person chosen to head the task force was selected as a result of his very well-known public bias against this approach to treatment, and he handpicked the entire rest of his committee.
Let's talk a little bit about this situation, first of all, in Europe, John, and get your take on why you think it could be a problem here. It's called Codex. And what is all this all about, anyway?
The United Nations has an entity called the Codex Alimentarius Commission, which is generating standards to govern the sale of all food products. The ostensible purpose is that through harmonizing the laws worldwide, it would streamline the sale of these products. Theoretically, this would protect consumers, and it would help companies that sell these products, because they wouldn't have to have multiple products for sale in different countries. They could have one size fits all regulations, and they could have one set of labels for their products that would be good all over the world.
And that would also mean that favorite companies, chosen companies, might have the upper leg to produce these vitamins and minerals?
The largest companies want one-size-fits-all regulations, and they don't care what they have to do to get that. They're seeking increased market share, and they're quite willing to only sell glass bottles containing cotton wadding and only modest amounts of vitamins if it means they can get increased market share, which would please investors. Many of these large companies are publicly traded, and all they care about is money.
Now, it looks like in Europe this is going to happen.
Yes, it is. The European Food Supplement Directive was passed into law, and unfortunately legal efforts to restrict it failed. And there's going to be some serious problems over in Europe. And unfortunately, the European Union politically dominates what occurs at the UN's Codex Alimentarius Commission, which ratified a framework pertaining to vitamins and minerals on July 4th, just recently. And this coming November, they'll be filling in the blanks on allowable potencies for vitamins and minerals. And they threaten to do so in a very restrictive manner, consistent with the desires of the chairman of the Codex Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Use, Dr. Grossklaus from Germany.
Will they ever get to a point, John, where even vitamins and supplements, you're going to have a prescription to go get them? Are they going that far with this?
I would say that a lot of products wouldn't be available at all, with or without a prescription, at least not in high potencies. The numbers that the Germans would like to fill in those blanks to are as low as 225 milligrams for vitamin C, 5 micrograms for vitamin D, 15 milligrams for vitamin E, 5.4 milligrams for vitamin B6. And there's a table I can refer people to that shows the rest.
Now, for people in Europe who might right now be accustomed to just going to their health food store and taking care of their own situation, you know, maybe people, there are a lot of people who are very strong proponents of alternative medicine now. They want to take care of themselves. They want to build up their immune function. Well, if this kicks in on August 1st and they want to go to their local store and pick up a pack of vitamins or something, are they going to be able to do that at all?
Yeah, they will, because there's a grace period that they have in which to comply with the regulations that can actually take several years. So things aren't going to come down like a guillotine very suddenly that way. This is a highly incremental agenda that's being phased in with deliberate gradualness so as to not provoke a public backlash.
Now, to some who are saying, okay, George, this is in Europe. How's this going to affect us? You observed a member of the FDA who was part of, were they part of a Codex meeting in Germany, or were they watching? What were they up to?
Okay, I observed Dr. Beth Yetley of the FDA, who was our delegate at the Codex Committee on Nutrition, take an action in Germany in 1996 that was totally inconsistent with U.S. law, when she seconded a Canadian motion to shift herbs out of Codex and over to a secret committee at the World Health Organization, to which the grassroots has no action, and where they'd be regarded as drugs, not as foods. This was done in direct response to a massive grassroots opposition to a Canadian motion to create a negative or no-trade list for herbs for the purpose of banning many safe herbs from international commerce. And when Dr. Yetley seconded this Canadian motion to shift herbs out of Codex and over to this secret committee at the World Health Organization, she acted unilaterally without consulting the rest of the people on the U.S. Codex delegation, some of whom would have objected. Her action ran directly contrary to current U.S. law, wherein dietary supplements are regulated as foods, not as drugs.